thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Will T, and Ray Jeezy. We are now part of Sports Journey. Make sure you check us out at sportsjourney.com. You'll find all kinds of sports content, especially for your DMV sports teams. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search the Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. Tonight, we feature an interview with Phoenix Suns head coach and PG County basketball legend, Monty Williams. This is part of our PG Baller segment. Here's the interview that Ray and I conducted last week.
All right, so I just want to quickly, you know, thank our listeners. You know, everybody's shown so much support for our PG County basketball series, and I'm going to constantly stress how much of a blessing it's been for me to have introduced some prominent names in the sports world. And today, of course, it is no different. Our guest today played his high school basketball right here in Prince George's County at Potomac High School for the great Taz Hickman. Hickman referred to our guest as, quote, the nicest kid off the court with a nasty edge during games. He was also dubbed a star while averaging over 30 points a game and leading Potomac to a state championship in his senior season. He played in the famous 1989 Capital Classic that featured another DMV legend, Kurt Smith, as well as George Lynch and Kenny Anderson. Following high school, our guest would go on to overcome a heart condition and play two seasons at Notre Dame, where he averaged 20-plus points per game. In the 1994 NBA draft, he was selected with the 24th pick in the first round by the New York Knicks, which was the start to a successful 9-year NBA career. He has played for and coached alongside some of the greatest coaches in basketball, including Pat Riley and Greg Popovich. It's also been rumored by those who were close to him that they always knew he would become an NBA head coach one day. After finding success as an NBA assistant with the Portland Trail Blazers, he was ultimately hired as the head coach of what was then known as the New Orleans Hornets, at the time making him the youngest head coach at age 38. His NBA coaching career has spanned over a decade, and he is currently the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. He's a strong man of faith who's persevered through tragedy and remains a great family man. Welcome to the Urban Sports Scene, Mr. Monty Williams. Great to have you, coach.
Thank you guys for having me, man. You guys remind me of all this stuff that the Lord has brought me through, man. Golly, that's a lot of stuff, man. I feel so blessed to have been a part of all that. And it's just a reminder of God's grace and so many good people that you get to play with and play under, and so many people that have given me a ton of encouragement and opportunities over the years. So that was pretty cool. Some of that stuff, I'm getting older, man. I forgot what you said. That was pretty cool.
Don't forget about us here in PG County.
Yeah, I know.
We still got love for
you. We do.
It's been a while. And I went to Duval. That was a rival of Potomac back then. I was in high school right around that time.
Yeah. Those are some really intense games, man. For whatever reason, the fans were so close to the floor. Mm. And you could really hear the intensity that was coming from the fans back then. Because back then, we used to have those games that we played at lunchtime. They'd be like in-school games. And I think we did one at Duval one time. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So, Coach, PG basketball has received a lot of, you know, attention due to Kevin Durant's documentary, Basketball County in the Water. Like Ray mentioned, you're a Prince George's County legend in terms of basketball and just in general, period. Your coaching career, and Ray mentioned your previous coach, what influence did Coach Hickman have on your coaching career?
You know, Coach Hickman was the first coach that I had that would throw me out of the gym if I didn't live up to my potential.
Mm-hmm.
he would probably he'd probably think I was telling you too much, but it actually helped me because I saw how much he wanted me to get it. And he was a stickler for fundamentals and IQ. I remember when I got to college and Coach Phelps, Digger Phelps at the time would remark to other people in where I could hear him say it, that I was a smart player. Mm. And I never thought much about it, but over time I realized that Coach Hickman spent so much time teaching me how to play the right way. And, he probably allowed me to look at the game differently than most young players. And it probably served me well in the NBA when I started playing with older players, because I was first 4 or 5 years of my career, I was typically the youngest person on the team. Mm. So Coach Hickman was a stickler for fundamentals. And, you know, he was, if I didn't adhere to those principles of, you know, being in a stance and contesting shots and, you know, understanding time, score, and situation, he would put me out of the gym. He would be like, get out of here. And I thought he was being tough on me until I started to, you know, see the results. And he was tough on me, but he also loved me, too. Coach Hickman, when I went off to college, I was getting all, you know, different family members gave me $20. I got a TV and, you know, people would give you linen for college. Coach Hickman gave me a Bible.
Oh, wow.
It said a lot about him as a father figure, and it said a lot about how much he loved me. He didn't want me to forget how my mother had raised me and the person that he'd hoped I would become. And so he's foundational for me. Coach and I still talk and text during the season. We'll have a tough game and he'll send me a text. You know, he'll list like a couple of things to pay attention to. And one of the highlights for me was a few years ago, they had the NBA awards and they gave me an award for a particular situation. And I was able to take Coach with me.
Right.
And that was so cool to watch him in that environment. And it was really cool to see how many people knew who he was. Mm-hmm. He's well known throughout the basketball world.
Yeah, a lot of times when we think high school basketball coaches in this area, obviously DeMatha comes to mind and Morgan Wooten, but you know, you played for a great coach. Now I'm just glad that the world got to know. And actually, I read an article that you compared him to Pat Riley and Greg Popovich, and he was like elated, like, wow, I can't even imagine being mentioned in that same breath. But you basically were saying he's a very similar coach, just not on the same platform, so to speak. So I thought that was pretty dope. But, you know, going back to your high school days and being here in PG, did you play street ball at all? And then back then, you know, like where did you play at just around the community?
Yeah, I mean, back then, you know, we didn't have the gyms that they have today. The gym that we have, we would go to Marlowe Rec or Tucker Road.
Mm.
And Marlowe Rec was available on Saturday mornings, and then Tucker Road, they had a gym down there. You could go some Saturdays. And so that was the indoor spot. But other than that, I played outside. And I grew up in right off of St. Barnabas Road in an apartment complex called Oxon Hill Village. And we had a court at the front of the complex. And you had to get off the bus and go into the house and change and run back to the court just so you could shoot for teams. Because there were older men that played also.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mother was like, you got to take the trash and do the dishes. Take the trash out, do the dishes. And I would get in trouble because I would just drop my books and run back, get my shoes and run back to the court. We shot for teams. And so it's like first five who make a free throw, that was a team. And then the next five, that was a team. And then after that, it was like who had next.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was where I played a ton of basketball outside. And then when we started driving, we would go over to Virginia and play in Fairfax. There was a, I don't know where this court was, but it was on the top of a hill. It was an outdoor court, and we would go over there and play. And it was pretty dope because a lot of big time players would go play over there. But I played most of my basketball outside until, you know, AAU started or our high school season started. And most of it was at Oxon Hill Village on the outside court.
Wow. So coach, who were some of the people in your neighborhood or who you played against as growing up that are maybe notable or folks that people don't know about in Prince George's County?
I grew up on St. Barnabas Road, and Walt Williams grew up 5 minutes away from my apartment complex. Michael Tate was 7 minutes away. Dickie Simpkins was 10 minutes away. He went to Friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And so those, like, just those guys alone, you know, we were all maybe 10 minutes away from each other, but we went to different schools. And, you know, our high school team was a successful basketball team. We had a guy, I wasn't even the best player. Devin Ash was the best player on that particular, in that group. Unfortunately, he was in a car accident when we were, I was in the 10th and he was in the 9th grade, but he was like a LeBron James before LeBron James. If you talk to anybody from Potomac High School and you brought up Devin Ash, they would tell you, like, he was unbelievable. He was 6'3", 185-pound, 8th grader, and he could do it all. And he unfortunately was in a car accident, and he's gone on to be with the Lord since then. But, you know, Ray Slater was another guy that went to Laurel High School that I played against that was just a tough guy to go against. But the guy that that just became my buddy because we played AAU together and we played on the McDonald's team together was Kurt Smith. Kurt was, you know, Kurt and I were just, for whatever reason, we were tight, and we loved to play. And so he and I were on an AAU team, and we went out to LA and we were roommates, and you know, I learned a ton from Kurt. Kurt had a different kind of toughness about him. And I think people saw it in that McDonald's game when he went against Kenny Anderson, but I had seen it years before that when we played AAU. And another guy was Donald Ford, who used to play over in D.C. Donald was like a 6'8 utility guy before anybody even called those guys utility guys. And so the PG County and even Fairfax County, but in particular PG County, man, just has so much talent. Mm-hmm. I think we all, if I could speak for everybody back then, we all looked up to Len Bias.
Like, of course.
He was the benchmark for everyone who grew up in PG County, right? Like, it was, you know, John Thompson was like the president. Patrick Ewing was like the ambassador to basketball. And then there was Len Bias because we could touch Lenny because he was in PG County and he went to Maryland. And so he was someone that we all just, you know, we didn't understand what Michael Jordan was back then. We had Lenny. And, you know, when he died, like, I could tell you exactly where I was when Len went on to be with the Lord, man. I was at my buddy Devin's house. We had a sleepover, and his bed was on the, we had a mattress on the floor, and Devin's mother came in and told us what had happened. And we all just kind of sat there for minutes, you know, trying to process that, because back then basketball players didn't die. You know, we were all familiar with death because of the infiltration of drugs and guns and all the stuff that was in our neighborhoods, but it never touched a basketball player, never touched a football player. And when it touched Lenny, it was a profound moment for me as a teenager. And so he was the guy that we looked at. He was the benchmark. And I bet Walt would say the same thing. I bet Kurt would say the same thing. And all the guys that were on the All-Met team with us would probably say the same thing.
Yeah, you mentioned Walt. It's funny. We just had Walt on the show as well, and he just raved about Len Bias. I mean, he did. You know, he co-authored a book about Len Bias. I'm sure you're aware. And I'm glad to hear, in a way, that your experience and playing in PG County was different from Walt. He was talking about riding bikes to bury bombs, getting in fights and stuff like that. So it's not like you took the safer route to hooping back when you were younger.
He didn't mention me.
There's no way, man. My mother was,
really?
My mother was no joke. I mean, if you were like in any part of that part of, you know, PG County, like everybody knew Monty Williams' mother. Like,
wow.
My mom just did not play, man. And so,
well, that's right.
I would leave and go to the court, and I wouldn't do the dishes and take the trash out. My mother would come get me. And all, they'd be grown men out there. We played with like guys who were like 20s and 30s and, you know, old men out there with combat boots on, be out there hooping with us. And they would see my mom. My mother would go home and turn around. She had an old Pontiac T-1000 four-speed. And my mother would go in the house and see that I didn't do what I was supposed to, turn right around and come to the court and honk the horn. All of the guys would look at my mother, and they would look at me, and they'd be like, dude, you're in trouble. But we just loved the hoop. And if you didn't get in that first 10, like, you were going to wait like 4 or 5 games. And so my mentality back then, I don't want young kids to do this, but I was going to take a swipe on the head just so I could hoop for about 2 hours before she got home.
I know, that's right, man. Well, I mean, hey, she did an amazing job, bro. You know, a single mom, that's a blessing. I know you appreciate that, and I know you apply that to your parenting. Now, I know we don't have a whole lot of time left. I'm going to try to squeeze in a couple more
PG County
questions.
No, man, this is PG County.
Oh, I appreciate you. Much love. So when we had Walt on, I just mentioned it, he listed you as one of the guys that he enjoyed playing against, and just it helped him become a better player. He also referenced the High Sox. I don't know if you were with that at the time. That's how we represented back in the day. How was it playing against Walt and other guys? Like you said, I know you mentioned Kurt. You know, what was it like back then? I know it was intense.
I looked up to Walt because there was this transition for guys who were like 6'7", 6'8", but were linky like us. Like, Walt was, he and the guy that was at Potomac named Byron Tucker, They were the two guys that I looked at and thought to myself, like, I might not be able to be like Len Bias, because Len was like, you know, an otherworldly type player. But I would see Walt and Byron play, and I was like, man, I think I can do that. Mm-hmm. And Todd Bozeman was a guy that, you know, had me in the gym every day working on my shot, my handle. You know, when I missed free throws, I had to do fingertip push-ups. And, you know, back then we had all these lists, right? Like, we had Parade All-American, we had Hoop Scoop, we had all these lists that would come out and rank players. And Walt was a guy that was right down the street from me, and he was ranked. And Walt was a, you know, 6'8", 6'9", could shoot it, could handle it. And he was like prototype PG County. Like, Walt had the high socks, the baggy shorts, the whole deal. And I used to get a lot of flack because I didn't do it. And a lot of it was just my personality. I just, you know, I've never been the guy that did what everybody else did. But it was like this thing that I admired about Walt, because he was PG County, like from head to toe. And, you know, I never, when you're young and immature and you really don't know how to express yourself, you don't really tell people how you feel. But I hope that Walt hears this someday and knows, like, he inspired me. And he was somebody that I looked up to, because not only that, and this is going to sound really superficial, but Walt always had a fresh cut. And I used to just be like, dang, this shape up is tight. And, you know, when you're growing up with a single mom and trying to make the ends meet, it just wasn't going to happen. Like, I could not go and get my hair cut like every 3 or 4 days or every week like Walt did. And I used to just marvel at his shape up. And back wow. then, like, you know, we would get, if you got a fade back then, you were like, it was like the deal, right? Like yeah. a girl might look at you. Well, Walt was the first cat that I saw that had a temp fade. Yeah, and yeah, yeah. they used to call it like a pompadour. And when I saw that, I was like, man, this dude, like, he was like the cat that I was like, that's what I want to do right there. And then he went to Maryland. And so it was pretty cool, you know, to have a guy like that right down the street, but went to a different school and he was putting up numbers. And, you know, he was a guy that I could look at along with Byron. And like I said, I didn't think I could come close to a Lenny Bias. But I would look at Walt, and it inspired me all the same.
No, you had definitely had an inspirational time in terms of what you did in Prince George's County in basketball. You know, a lot of people still talk about you. Like Ray mentioned, Walt still talks about you to this day and has high remarks about how you played in the area. You played in the Capital Classic in 1989, and the Capital Classic was it growing up for me. And your team won. They beat the USA All-Stars 103-101. What do you remember about playing in that game? You had Kenny Anderson and a group of players that you already mentioned.
I remember, well, I mean, Kenny was a guy, you know what I mean? Like, we had heard about Kenny Anderson since, like, eighth grade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Archbishop Malloy played with Robert Rodan. Their coach was just, you know, he was like Morgan Wooten. And so you heard about Kenny for years. And so when we got into the game, like, there was this, you know, build up. But in my mind, like, Kurt was my buddy. And I had already seen, like, Kurt and I had been to LA and played in the Reebok Slam and Jam. We've been to a few places to play, and I'd seen Kurt just torch, you know, big time, highly ranked players. Mm-hmm. And Kurt was just different. Like, he didn't care who it was. Like, he was going at your neck. And so the thing that stood out to me was Kurt's ability to just go out there and dominate the game. And it wasn't like Kenny was a slouch. Like, Kenny Anderson was a beast. But that was what stuck out to me. We won the game, and it was pretty cool. And the Capital Classic, the heritage of that game is pretty awesome. And I'd watched so many of those games coming up, but just watching Kurt and Kenny go at it, and seemingly it looked like Kurt got the best of Kenny on that stage in front of all of his friends and family, man, I thought that was pretty cool.
Hey, so you know, just with all that you're saying, and I think we've seen Kurt play down at the Urban Coalition years ago too, man. So again, we already know, and we mentioned Walt. Walt went to Maryland, as you just alluded to. Was Maryland or Georgetown one of the local schools on your list of colleges when you were, you know, in high school?
No, it what Maryland was, okay. Coach Thompson at the time, he chose Mike Tate, and I think Mike changed his last name to Michael Vince. And for me, you know, my whole reason for going to college was to get a job. And so I was thinking about, you know, twofold, basketball or working in some other vocation. And so I had that in mind, and Notre Dame just became an option for me because Coach Phelps made a promise to my mother that I'd get my degree, and he was going to push me to further myself. And so there were only a few teams that played on TV consistently, and Notre Dame was one of them. You know, they were on NBC a lot, and I knew that I couldn't say it, but in my head I knew that was my resume. If I could play on TV and scouts could see me. And so I wanted to, there was a part of me that wanted to go to a local school. George Mason was a school that I looked at, and American was also a school that I looked at. But when Notre Dame, they were one of the first schools that recruited me back in like the 10th grade, which was really weird because I wasn't well thought of at the time. But I did want to go to Georgetown just because of Coach Thompson. Coach was a bit of a icon for any minority African American in PG County, Fairfax County, DC. Like he was the guy. And so, you know, people in my family like looked at Coach Thompson like he was a delegate. You know, that was how we viewed Coach Thompson. And so to be able to have a chance to play for him would have been awesome. And so when I didn't get that opportunity, I had to look for what I thought was the next best thing.
Absolutely. So we have so much that we could cover, but we're going to fast forward to the present now, if that's cool. And
sure.
You know, obviously you had success in the bubble. It's been talked about. I've been hearing about it today, you know, as we speak. But I want to know from you, is it mixed emotions with being home now and being out of that environment, or would you have really preferred to continue to play on? Because I know just being away from family is difficult.
You know, that was the only piece for me that was hard to manage, was being away from my family. You know, I had one daughter who went to school and I couldn't, you know, she's a freshman and I couldn't even take her. And that I really struggled with that. And then I have, you know, my boys who are teenagers and one is 10. You know, the time with them is precious and I can't get it back. And our families deal with a lot with us being gone. And so that was the only struggle for me. But the competitive side of me, you know, wants to be in Orlando. You know, I watched the Lakers-Portland game last night, and, you know, we are half a game from being in that game against the Lakers, or at least having a shot in the play-in game.
Yeah.
But I felt so blessed to be a part of that experience. The NBA did everything possible to make it safe and productive for the coaches and the players. And for us to play the way that we did says a lot about our team, the players who partnered with us and adopted some of the nonsense that I try to implement every day was really cool. And so for us to have that kind of momentum going into next year is a good thing. So I am torn. You know, I'm glad that I'm back with my family and driving them nuts, but I certainly would love to be playing against the Lakers right now in the playoffs.
Well, real quick, how do you hold your emotions in check when your family introduced you during that game? Because based on what you're saying, man, you know, I'm an emotional dude. You know, I'm light-skinned too. I get all red. I can imagine that was hard to kind of keep it all in check.
It caught me off guard because usually they just do stuff for the players.
Right.
And so when I saw the video and I just happened to look to the left, I saw my son Micah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know him, like his brother is, you know, 12 years old, 6'1", 150 pounds, and just a athlete. And he's the little brother. So a lot of his life is, you know, he's in the shadow of his brother. And so for him to step up and do that, it just gave me so much, you know, internal pride about him. And, you know, that was his moment to just, you know, be the deal. And the way the video, I heard it just was, it was really popular and that kind of thing. And so I was really I was caught off guard, but at the same time, I was so happy to see him do that. And I think all of our guys were just, you know, ecstatic to see our families because we hadn't seen them. You know, we do FaceTime, but I think it set us apart as a team that, you know, we all care about our families throughout the league, but we had this opportunity to put our families before the game, and it was a bit of inspiration for us to go out there and play well. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, you started a trend. The Raptors just did it. And Kyle Lowry's son's now viral. Well, for the introduction.
I saw that, man.
Pretty cool. Yeah, you saw that, right?
I saw it yesterday. I went and told my family. I said, the Raptors just bit off of us.
Exactly.
I just saw it, man. I was like, hey, man.
That was cool.
So I think I wish all the teams would do it, man, because that's the one thing that we forget. I know I've done not as good of a job as I wish I would have early in my career, but our families really want to enjoy this with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I can get so locked into, you know, preparation and when I play, you know, playing in certain gyms around the country and lifting and running and all that stuff and getting my rest that sometimes you forget to allow your families to enjoy this with you, because it's rare to be in the NBA. And the older I get, the more I realize that this is a get to and not a got to. You know, it's a privilege to be in the league. And I, you know, I'm a guy that can, you know, look at kids in PG County and say, you can do it. And here's why. You know, I came up just like you. I know what it's like to grow up in this area. I know the grind. I know the obstacles that you face, you know, just trying to get on your bus to get to school. Like, I get that, but you can do it. And so our families want to enjoy it, you know, and I think it's pretty cool when they get a chance to be a part of this process.
So, Coach, I did have one question, and it's about the time that you spent in OKC. You coached Kevin Durant. How cool was that to have two individuals from Prince George's County? You know, one player, one coach.
You know, Kevin is a guy that he'll probably never get the appreciation that he deserves. You know, everybody sees the championships and the talent and his maturation, but I've been privileged to see the work with Kevin. And he's a guy that taught me a lot in my few months in OKC. You know, I use him a ton with young players that I've been around. You know, OKC used to have practices at, you know, 11 o'clock, let's say. And Kevin would be on the floor at 9 o'clock getting his work in. And then he would go have breakfast, and then he'd come back and go through practice. And I thought, you know, that's the kind of leadership that a lot of people don't know about Kevin. And the other... The other weird story with Kevin, man, is, you know, he and I were on the Olympic team together, and we were in Brazil, and we were getting, you know, preparations ready for the medal round. And we were in practice one day, and this particular day was just about, you know, player development. So, you know, you have guys all over the gym getting their work in. And Clay and DeMar and all these guys are on the other end. You know, we had guys all over the place just working. And Kevin and I would work together every day. And after we finished, he walks over to me, like, real close. And I thought, you know, we were going to talk about some social issue or something personal, man. I didn't know what he was going to ask me. And he got real close to me, and he says, Coach, who's the hardest worker here? And he was like real close, and I looked at him. I was like, you care, like, it's you, you know. And he walked away from me, and I thought to myself, I'm like, this dude is sick. Like, who asked that kind of question? You know, like, but in his head, like, he wanted to be the standard for the team, and he didn't want anyone. Like, there was this was a high level gym. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Kyrie Irving, you got all these guys, and he wanted to make sure that he was the guy as it relates to work and preparation. And then when we got in the gold medal game, he separated himself from everybody. He just took over the game, and it was a wrap. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm proud of the connection we have. We're both from PG County. I love him. You know, he's somebody that I've gotten to know over the years, but had a chance to work with in two particular venues or two teams. And I hope that the young kids back in PG County understand that they have somebody that they can look at that came up like them, is doing it on a high level, and he comes back to the community and pours tons of money and resources back into that community. And I think that's a really cool thing.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, we just appreciate your time. I mean, we went a little over it. We apologize.
Nah, this is PG County, man.
Hey.
This is DMV.
I appreciate that. So I'm
good with it.
We appreciate it.
So I just want to say on behalf of, you know, our show that we just wish you continued success, that you will build off of what you started here in the restart, in the bubble, as they call it, this season. And, you know, you got our boy Oubre down there. He was here in Washington. So it's good to see him doing well. Also, just because you mentioned St. Barnabas Road, Tucker Road, you know, throwing it out there, just saying keep Delonte West in your prayers. That's mm-hmm. where he kind of is in that area. I see him from time to time. You know,
sure.
He's been through his mental health challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, just again, thanks for your time. And, you know, we hope to have you on again in the future or catch up with you. And, hey, good luck. Stay safe, man.
You guys call me anytime, man. This is PG County is near and dear to my heart. And there's so many people there that have been instrumental in my growth, not just as a basketball player, but as a man, from Valley View Elementary School to Shugart Middle School to Potomac High School. And so many places there have, and people have been a blessing to me. So I'm thankful that my mother brought me back to her home, and I was able to grow up there. And I learned so many lessons, and there's so many good people there that are instrumental to me and my growth. So love you guys. God bless you guys. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. Same to you. Thanks again, brother. Take care.
I hope you all enjoyed the interview with Coach Williams. He was so much fun. He was so real. I mean, he brought it back, you know what I mean, back to PG County's basics in terms of his, you know, his younger days in PG County, his high school days, and his commitment. I mean, when he decided to go to Notre Dame and also his coaching career, he was amazing. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, check out the new home of the Urban Sports Scene, Sports Journey at sportsjourney.com. Like I said earlier on the show, you can get all your DMV sports teams information over there. You know what I'm saying? Anything you need, you know, Washington football team, Washington Wizards, you name it, it's there. Before closing the show, I want to speak about what happened to Jacob Blake up in Milwaukee. The man was shot 7 times in the back by cops while walking towards his car during a situation. From the video, the cops could have easily taken him down without shooting him. They shot him 7 times, you know what I mean? And in the back, luckily, I mean, with God's grace, the man is alive. But reports are that he is paralyzed. So I just want to mention, like, being black in this country is just a different lifestyle. So I'm kind of like overhearing, like, all right, you know, we want change. It's time to demand change. We got to take action to have change. And to me, change starts when we like focus on change and leadership. And in that way, I think we can create change. So get out there in November and select the people that you feel that will do that and create change. The people that you feel that will create change, go out there and vote and do your part. Because we got to stop talking about it. We got to start being about it. And to me, the best way to do that and the best way to be about it is to get out there in November and vote and help our community out best we can. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate y'all for listening. We appreciate y'all. I hope you all enjoyed the interview with Monty Williams. All right, man. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. A Mega. Lead us out, big homie.